Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Awesome. Let me pray. Father, Lord, we just come, Lord. Just thanking you, Lord, for the feast, Lord, for all the days that we've been here, Lord. It's just been a blessing, Lord. Father, I just surrender everything to you, Lord. Father, please touch my lips, Lord. Empty me and fill me with your spirit, Lord. And give us the heart to hear, Lord, your word. And just bless everyone who's here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Thank you for just allowing me this opportunity to speak. And all the glory be to you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So, my name is Juan Ascension. We're gonna read the Bible and talk, but at the same time, I'm gonna give you a little testimony as we're going through. I'm not gonna go into detail because we'll be here all day. But I've been married for 24 years. My beautiful wife is Lucy, and we have two children, Hannah and Elijah. They're not here because I think someone kept them up to 3 in the morning. They've been fellowshipping, and I woke up early to pray and to read, and they were barely going to bed. But I'm here. Just for my own sake, how many people have kept a feast for more than 5 years? How about 10? 15? 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 54. Amazing. Well, this is our fifth feast that me and my wife and my children keep. When I married my wife, I wasn't a Christian. I, of course, married her. She kind of walked away from the Lord, and that's how she met me. So God uses all things for good, right? But the problem, and I said a problem because it was a problem for me, she went back to church as soon as we got married. So it was the most difficult 2 years of my life, you know? You have this beautiful woman that I just married, and she doesn't want to go out to clubs, and she doesn't want to do the rest of the things, right? So, I mean, I'm not going to go into all the details, but the Lord restored my marriage, right? The day we were about to get a divorce, the Lord just touched me. He just showed me His love for me, and we've been together ever since, right? I continue going to church after I accepted the Lord in my heart, after I knew who He was, and, you know, He showed me how important I was to Him, right? And I started to travel in mission trips. Me and my wife, we just, for the first 10 years, we dedicated our life completely to the Lord. Not that we don't right now, but we have children, right? It's a little different. But we went to China, wow. South Korea. We went to the border of North Korea through China. And the Lord took us also to Cuba, many times to Mexico. And, you know, on my second trip from Cuba, I was just had something on my heart. And, you know, reading the Word of God, and especially in Matthew, where it says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. And He goes, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And remember, surely He'll be with you for the rest of your life. So that stuck with me. And as I came from the airport, I told my wife, I need to study more of the Bible and in Spanish. Even though that's my language, I was just going to an English-speaking church, right? So it's like, I don't know how to speak Christianese in Spanish. And so I did went to school of ministry to a church, one of the big denominations here in the United States. I'm not going to name it, but let's say the I just wanted to teach the good news to my people, thinking they're waiting for me to receive this great gift, right? It was a little disappointed, you know what I mean? If you've ever been trying to reach your loved ones, they're not really waiting for the gospel. The enemy has them in their hands, you know, with all the lies and everything. But I didn't know that. And, you know, I don't get offended no more. They're not rejecting Juan, they're rejecting God, right? That's the attitude we need to have. But we are commanded to go and teach and to reach out to the people. So here I am, and the door opened the door, and we were teaching on a Sunday church. Like he opened the door for me on a Spanish ministry, and here I am, kind of brand new on the faith too, on the Bible. I'm reading and reading and reading and teaching and preparing Wednesdays and Sundays, and at the end of my studies, once I prepare everything, I will listen to, I'm just going to call this Pastor Chuck, right? Because he was the main guy. I will listen to him and, oh yeah, I'm in alignment to what he's saying, you know. And sometimes I will get tidbits, right? And I'm going to use that for tomorrow, you know. But one time, reading Matthew 24, it opened my eyes because I was reading and writing and did my notes. And this is Saturday night around 10 o'clock. I said, let me listen to Pastor Chuck, see what he says. And it was completely different to what I have just read and have my notes. And it's like, oh my. I went to listen to another great pastor from that church, Pastor John. I'm just going to name it John. The same thing. And then I went to another pastor because, you know, you have all the audios from their studies. I was like, how am I going to go against men that know what they're doing? And he exactly, huh? Instead of me, and you know, I didn't know better. So I kind of destroyed my notes. And it's like, yep, the tribulation comes. We are raptured. We're taken somewhere in heaven. We're living there. And, you know, but, I mean, I don't know what you guys agree or what believe on this topic. We're not going to get into it. We could talk about it. But, you know, I just realized, me reading it, that we go through that tribulation, right? But that's not the point. I'm just saying that I destroyed my notes, right? And I said, I cannot copy word by word what they were saying. But that put a seed on my heart. It's like, am I reading correct? Is this correct? But again, I was looking at men, not at what the Word of God said. Later on, we had struggles having our kids. Finally, after 10 years, we were blessed. It was a long journey. That's another story, testimony. I given my testimony. I think Ethan saw that, heard that at the Feast of Tabernacles, but after that, so we used to live in L.A., the main city. And my wife is like, we need to get out of here. There's oppression. And we have these two beautiful children. If it's you and me, Juan, it's good, right? So we move out to the suburbs, right? Riverside, city of Corona. I don't know if that's what they got, the virus, but we live in the city of Corona in California. And we got there. And it was so lonely. We started attending many churches, and no one would reach out to us. And, you know, we were there for 1, 2, 3, 4 years. And then we were hearing the things from the pastor, so we were reading more of the Bible on our own. And my wife and I kind of agree, like, I think we need to stop church. This is not working. We don't agree, And they were just getting too out of hand, right? And And then I told my wife, yeah, and I think we need to keep the Sabbath. It's not gone away. That's part of the Bible. I was like, okay, explain to me. So we went through the Bible study and read it. And she's like, okay, I think that's correct. And we started reading the Bible, and it's like, but we're crazy. Like, no one does that. I mean, I know of a church that is new. I mean, I'm not naming Seventh-day Adventist, but I said, let's not go there because they kind of worship a leader. I mean, right? So I don't want to go there. Like I want to, but learn about the Sabbath. So let's go to a Messianic church. I think those people believe in Jesus. That's why they call Messianic. And because I want to learn more about the Sabbath. So we did. We attended for a month. And, you know, my wife, being from a Catholic background, she saw something she didn't like, and I knew it. But her eyes kind of were open. And our scales kind of fell from your eyes, you know? Like, we know of Christ, we knew Messiah, but when we start keeping the Sabbath, like, the Bible took a different meaning. Then we found a church. I actually told my wife, you go look for a church, because our whole life, I've been looking for churches, been in ministry, and I said, now you do it, because you know what you want. I could stay here in this Messianic church. There was nothing wrong with it. It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was just something with her background back then, and she'd been new to the faith. He just thought it was too much relationship to Catholicism. But so she did, and she found a church where we'd been there for 5 years. We got there on around March, right before the Passover. And it was amazing, refreshing to find a group of people who believe in the Sabbath. I'm like, I'm not crazy. It's not me and my wife. Like, how am I? Because, you know, the churches I would go, people would go to stadiums, you know, 5,000, 20,000, 40,000. And, you know, I was like, that's why I was like, we're crazy. We're like, what are we going to do? Just you and me. And that's why I ask you how many years you've been keeping the Sabbath. And I know this is a small group, and numbers have nothing to do with it, but I'm just going to say, I hear through people that there are groups on the thousands that keep the Sabbath and get together. You guys could confirm that, but I hear it, and it's like, there's more craziness. Yeah. Praise God. And so that's kind of my story, and we kept, and we lost a lot of friends, Christian friends, because now we were being observing the law and legalistic. You know how it goes, and we even lost family that were close to us. But that brought us to something else. That brought us to a bigger family, a family full of love, of unity. I mean, I see you guys. You guys don't know me, but the spirit of Jah is in this place. I could feel it in all of you guys. I know I've been busy. I'm sorry. I apologize because we're trying to look for a house. So I want to keep, I'm keeping the high days. But in between, me and my wife are looking possibly to move here. So keep that in prayer. And so that's why we haven't been able to be with you guys, but that's what it is, right? I seen it, and it's here, and Jeff talk about abiding in God, in Christ, and people were saying, well, that's your conviction, Juan. That's your conviction of keeping the Sabbath. That's your conviction of keeping the holidays. Guys, it's not a conviction. Because serial killers, their conviction, they said, do not murder. But their conviction is like, we like this, right? So if their conviction says yes, then that's okay. It's not about a conviction. It's what the Word of God says. That's the authority. And I shouldn't be no man. It shouldn't be no other people. I'm here, but at the end of the day, it's the Bible, right? As I'm learning, because I don't know anything, everything. But we should go to the Bible. And if you guys see that I made a mistake on something, not a mistake. It's just because I'm learning. I'm open. I want you to share with me and teach me, right? And that's what it is. The Word of God is the one with the final authority. So again, Jeff talked about abiding. And he went through John 15:4. And he said, if anyone abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Can we do anything without God?
No.
Is there anything? God is the sole purpose that our faith. I keep on going. Believe me. Sometimes I lose hope, and I see many people who lose hope because life is hard, and they have ended everything, right? I, on the hard times, I said, I need Jesus, and I have hope, and that's why I keep on going. No matter where you are, that's what your faith should be. That's where we have a future, we have a hope, and we're here today to lift each other up, to show the love of God, to continue. But first of all, we need to abide in Him. Abide in Him. Jesus said, love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. Amen?
Amen.
God is first in our life. But what is the second commandment?
Love your neighbor
as yourself. And in these two commandments depends all the law and the prophet. But what does it look? And now I'm getting to my point. To love your neighbor. What is it? How do we do that practically? Where's my water?
Yeah. We give them a drink of water.
We give them water. Right? If you didn't give water to someone, it's like, Lord, you know, he said, if you didn't, just as you give water to one of these or visit them in prison, you did it unto me, right? Amen, brother. Thank you. So, open your Bibles to Philippians 2. It says, if there's any encouragement in Christ. So this is Paul not telling us. If there's an encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, any sympathy, he says, please complete, no, he doesn't say please, but says, complete my joy by being of the same mind. Are we on the same mind?
Yes,
we are. He says, having the same love. What is the love that we have here? The love of Yah. The love of Yahweh. The love of God. Being in full accord and of one mind. Amen? This is what Christ has shown us. And that's what he's doing. Even Christ. This is Paul talking to us. But Christ in John chapter 17:11 said, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. There. Who's there? They're the disciples. Us, right? And I'm coming to you, Holy Father, keeping in your name, which you have given me, that they might be one. Right? We need to be one. I'm one, but we need to be one. Even as we are one. Who is he talking one? Him and the Father. He says, let them be one, right? All the way to 13, John 17, 13. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. As you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. For as their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also might be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for this only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all might be one, just as your Father are in me and I in you, that they also might be in us, so that the world might believe that you have sent me. So guys, that's basically it. Love God, love your neighbors, be together, one spirit. That's what we're doing here on this earth. And you know, as I was going through the feast, it's amazing because I've been discovering more things. Of course, the whole feast, like when I said my veil has been removed, the feasts are sharing the gospel of Christ to me. And I've seen it now. Before, I would read about it, but now it's like more practical, right? Like the tabernacles, you know, one day I'm going to be with my Father. I'm with all of you guys together. We're practicing, right? We see the Passover and we do it when it happens. And all that, like, we saw the things that he was showing us, right? And 3 or 4 days ago when we did the bread and the wine and the remembrance when we were having Passover, what else did we do? We do the foot washing, right? And we're going to see what that meant and what I see it and what Paul and Christ are describing to us. It says in Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This is what Jesus is saying. Do nothing for self-ambition, right? Or conceit. But let's count others more significant than yourself. How do we do that? When we're doing the foot washing, what happens? Aren't we humbling ourselves? Jesus basically showed us that, right? He showed us the love of God through the bread and through the blood. That he shed the blood of his Son for the love that he has for us, so we will never perish and have eternal life. And he's like, Jesus says or showed us, but now you guys need to be humble. We need to live in humility. It's not about, okay, what happened the day when they were doing the Passover? Didn't the disciples start, who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? They started to talk about that. And Jesus says, let me show you. Let me wash your feet. Who was the greatest? Jesus, who was the master, and now washing their feet? Or them who were fighting for a position, for recognition? Jesus showed them, right? Philippians 2:6, it says, even though Jesus, who was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, okay? But he emptied himself. He could have come to the world as a king. He couldn't have just, you know, chosen to live in a palace, to have angels serve him as he's ruling the world, right? Did he do that? He emptied himself of everything. And I was talking to a friend, of my brother-in-law, who came with me. And, you know, he says, Juan, I don't have a house. I'm trying to move to Tennessee. I'm also looking for a house. And we just started talking about money and life and things. And I said, Lorenzo, you have so much in your life. It's not about money at the end. It's about all the blessings that you have, how much God has given you. He has given you life. He has given you a family. And not only a physical family, a family in Christ who we have here, amen, who we have everywhere. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord is a children of God. I said, we have so many things. I'm trying to escape California. And I'm not going to deny it. But through this feast, I realized that it's more than that. I mean, he's not here, Nan Plata here is not here, but his beautiful wife is here, Lisa, William, Ethan. Now you guys, I mean, the love that you guys show, those are the things that I'm looking for. It's not about a house, because God will provide no matter where we are. If I stay in California, if I stay here, if I go to the end of the world, if I go back to China or South Korea, North Korea even, I don't know how I'm going to enter. But it's about the love that I have from him and what I'm able to provide to you, to you, to you. If I don't live like that, then life is going to be difficult. Amen. There's no greater thing but the love of God. And I'm only able to give it to you guys by me showing you love, by me being humble. I don't expect anything from you guys. But when I receive things, even a water, that talks a lot, right? Give me a cup of water because you did it with love. I take it and I receive it. I will not reject it. That's what being humble, that's what Christ wants from us. God, Christ did it. He showed us. He emptied himself. He left everything. He says in Philippians 2:7, by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus was a servant. People couldn't recognize who he was. Judas had to kiss them so the guards could know who he was, right? If a king is amongst the servants, you right away know who the king is, right? Yeah. It's the one who's well-dressed, protected, who, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He was always serving. He went down and Peter said, what are you doing, master? Unless I do this to you, you will not enter the kingdom of God, right? And he's like, then wash me everything, right? What he said, I'm proud of praising. But the first time I did the foot washing, I was part of a Christian ministry in Los Angeles. We used to go to Skid Row, downtown LA. And if you know downtown LA, I believe it's, gosh, I forgot the number, 7 million people in Los Angeles. And Skid Row, where all the homeless people, is the streets are full of houses or tents. There's rats, there's prostitutes, there's drug dealers, there's gangsters, there's everything you could imagine. And here we are serving the community. And one day during Thanksgiving, we set up a place in a corner and we're washing the feet of the people there. You don't know how humbling to me was. Here I am in my knees. With someone who doesn't consider to have anything. And God showed me, Juan, I did this for you. I show you what my son did. Who are you that you won't get on your knees and wash their feet? People were crying. And I was crying. And not only the one being with the feet washed, but I was just broken. Next time you do that, remember what Christ did for you. It is Christ. And that's the mindset that we need to have. Abide in Christ. Love your brothers. Love your neighbors. Show humility. And you don't have to have much. Again, it's not about money. It's not about that. My wife, if you, hopefully, God willing, you guys will meet her again in another time. Probably will be back again. She takes, I'm just going to say tacos because we love tacos. If she's eating food, she will take the food almost out of her mouth to give it to someone who's asking. Like if she only has a piece of whatever she's eating, she will do it. And to me, I see, you know, I like my food. I like to eat. And if someone comes close to my food, I'm going to be stabbing them with a fork or a knife. She has shown me so much love through that as well. I remember too my mom. My mom used to be like that. She didn't know Christ, but you could see the love of Christ, right? In a sense, like she gave everything she had and we had nothing. I come from Mexico, a big city in Mexico. Guadalajara is the second biggest city in Mexico. And I grew up with nothing. At 11, at 10, I was on the streets working, selling candies to make money. And now that I have something right now, but it's like, this didn't make me who I am. What I am right now, my identity is in Christ. That was the game changer. With money, no money, that is who defines me. And that's who should define us. The love of Christ in all of us. Like I said, the disciples were disputing who should be the greater. Jesus, he went down to his knees, right? And washed their feet. We do this every year. We do it in remembrance of him, right? Everything, partaking of the bread, of the wine, and washing the feet from each other. Some ladies, I'm just saying, when it's Passover or when they know, some churches do this more often, right, yearly. When the pastor announces, we're going to have a foot washing. Let's go get a pedicure. Let's go. Herb is not here. That day, me and William went to the lake. Then we went with my family. After, we went up to the hills. And we were walking. And we got in muddy situation. And then I come here, right? Like, at the end of the day, I didn't know we were having a foot washing. And then, when it was announced, we broke the bread and the wine, and then it's like, okay, we're gonna do foot washing, and I was like, okay, Herb, he bless him so much. He, every time I see him, I've been to Dallas a couple of times, speaking there at a church where he attends, and he's just a servant. He just wants to take me, provide me a ride, take me to eat. He just doesn't let me. And when he saw me here, he came with his bassinet. I was like, I'm going to go hide on the back. And he goes, Juan, can I wash your feet? What am I going to say? He said, sure. I didn't even question it. Let me think about it. I put my waters. I'm saying, I've been in muddy waters on the road on hiking. You could see, like, the man coming out of the water, Herb is just blessed. He is just with a smile. And it's like, that's not what it is, you know. He's humbling himself. He wants to serve me. And I'll take it. I'll take it because I don't want to steal his blessing. When we give something, when someone wants to also bless you, you take it. Because they're doing it with their heart. And it could be in many ways, right? Let's see, I'm already. Going back to Philippians 2:8. Again, he goes, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to the death on the cross. Jesus was teaching them to love, to be in humility, the opposite of pride. He wasn't telling them to boast, but to be humble. Jesus had submission. He showed obedience. Jesus took another step down, and he was submissive. He even said, God, if this is your will, your cup, let it be. On his final days, right? Not my will, by your will. Even though he had all the authority given by the Father, he submitted to the will of the Father. How much are we willing to submit? And not only to God, but to our relationships with our husbands, with our wives, with our pastors, with our co-workers, right? With our neighbors. If someone is in need, are we going to reach out to them? Are we willing to submit to show the love of Christ? Jesus was willing to go through difficulties and tribulations so that we could inherit eternal life. How much are we willing to go through difficulties and tribulations so that those around us can see the love of Jesus, the love of God, and inherit eternal life? To do that, that takes to be humble, to have a humble heart, it takes humility. Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to serve? Are we willing to submit? Are we willing to suffer? Are we willing to do all these things for Christ? Yesterday, beautiful Annie recited Romans 12, right? Isn't that the most beautiful thing? I told Jeff, don't do that again, because she stole the whole show. Your message was amazing, Jeff, I told him. That was amazing to another level. Just seeing the little girl recite the whole verse, Romans 12. And Romans 12 teaches us how to live. Now I know why she did that, why the parents helped her to choose that, right? He says in Romans 12, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you might discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So here Paul is telling us, basically, submit your bodies to an acceptable sacrifice, a living sacrifice, right? We see someone in need. We see someone on the side of the road with a car broken. Maybe we stop. We show them the love of God, right? Someone who's hungry, someone who's going through a difficult time. We show them the love of God. Sometimes we preach the word of God. How better? With words or by our actions? Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
People have preached the word of God to other people, to me, by their actions. Because you realize, I want what they have.
Yeah.
Why are they different? What are you doing to me? What's your agenda? Now they start thinking, because everything is an agenda, right?
Yeah.
And then you start, my agenda is to show you the love of God. My agenda is that you have eternal life, because there's someone greater than me who loved me, and he's also willing to love you. And because he loved me, I'm also willing to love you, to show my love to you. This what you see doesn't come from me, it comes from someone greater. And then you start preaching the gospel, right? You start showing them, and you know, why don't you come read the Bible, why don't you come and we share break bread together, and you start a relationship. Relationships is what counts. Many churches go, raise your hand if you said Christ, and then they say you out the door, and that's it. May God bless you. And then they mark it on their books. We saved 2,000 people today. Is that relationship? Is that love? Is that what the Bible teaches us? Is that make disciples of other nations? No. It takes effort. It takes that we do something, right? But we do it with love. We don't do it in anger. We don't do it to receive anything. We're not going door by door trying to meet a quota so we could do something, right? If we go door by door, it's because we love people. I'm not saying that's wrong to go door by door. But I'm not doing it because I'm trying to meet an expectation of someone or what quota that someone gave me. I'm doing it because I really love people. A lot of times, through the mission trips that I was telling you earlier, just by praying around your neighborhood. Who likes to walk on this? I mean, Tennessee is so beautiful, so green. I feel like walking and going along. You guys do that at your place where you guys live? How about you pray as you're walking? How about you pray as you see the fence of your neighbor, the car? Just lay hands as you're probably giving glory to God, singing songs in you. We could do that. That's a living sacrifice. And that breaks barriers, let me tell you. My brother who was a drug addict, my brother who was using acid and meth and everything, he lived next to us. My wife and I walked for 6 months nonstop every day through that street because he didn't want nothing with us. He wanted to be separated from the light. He knew because his family were Christians and he knew the light and the darkness. And he's like, leave me alone. And it's like, well, it's not going to be us. It's going to be God who's going to change you. We prayed and prayed and prayed and laid hands. And we walk around the neighborhood. It wasn't only him. We were just praying and praying. And one day, there was a breakthrough. Guess what? He came crying. He came, I surrender everything. And you know what? He didn't have to go to rehab. Some people tell you, you need to be in rehab for a year. And we need to detoxify. And he was using heavy drugs. The ones that he starts seeing animals crawling under his skin. He was delivered. Wow. Who's the doctor of doctors? Who delivers? All the glory to him. It wasn't us. We were obedient to showing, to praying, to having our bodies a living sacrifice, right? Because that takes effort for me to walk, for me and my wife. Again, it's done out of pure love, nothing else. Up to today, he goes. He does worship at church. He has 7 kids, right? He started, he got married with the woman that he was living, and now he has 7 kids. He goes to church, he praises God. But that's, I'm telling you, that's what love is. There's nothing else. I got nothing else to share with you guys but the love of Christ. Even if I never get into this podium, I want to serve you guys. And we should do that to each other. I seen Pastor Mark. He hasn't stopped serving people. He's all quiet. And I'm sure he's not expecting nothing. His wife and other people. I mean, I could go around the room and everyone is doing this. And that's amazing. Can we take it a step forward and do it with non-Christians so we could reach Christ? We do it here with love for all brothers and sisters. Can we do it outside of here? That's the challenge. As we're remembering who first reached out to us. Brothers, let's love each other. Let's keep God first. And then our neighbors, let's love them as well. Either at church or on the streets, we are to show love, God's love and mercy. Amen. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's been a blessing. And God willing, we'll see you again. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.